A situation of great fear, a situation of confusion. Fear can make us focus on the differences between people. The Egyptians and the Israelites were not so different, and yet each treated the other as different. And we can easily think of different groups of people as more dangerous or of less value than ourselves. This makes it easier to bully them or to treat them badly. Freedom from slavery is an important biblical theme. Slavery is not what God wants for us. And God fills Moses with energy and with power to fight for the people's freedom. Being on the side of those who are being treated unfairly is doing God's work. Forgetting that we are all God's children and treating individuals and groups as if they were worth less than we are harms us as well as them. And to do so denies our family relationship with God. At our later service this morning, we're going to be joined by members of our youth organisations. And over the past century, since Baden Powell took a group of young boys away to camp on Brownsea Island in Poole Harbour, the movement he started, Scouting, has recognised the worth of each person, boys and young men, and in more recent years, girls and young women. Scouting is an organisation which has evolved as the years have gone by. It's very different to the organisation I was part of as a youngster. But as it's spread around the world, it has, as an organisation, and its members have held true to a shared promise and a shared sense of values epitomised in the Scout Law, recognising each other's worth and value before God. Today, as well as marking Freedom Day, the bicentenary of the abolition of the British slave trade, later on we'll also be marking the centenary of Scouting, thinking of the opportunities, the tremendous opportunities it's given to boys and girls in the Scouts and also later in the Guide movements. And as we think of the worth and value each member of these organisations sees in the other, so too we're reminded to see the worth and value in other people, to do away with fear and to trust God for change. We continue in our worship as we sing the hymn 544, When I Needed a Neighbour, Were You There? Well, Jesus is in Tyre, and that's out of Galilee. It's over the border in Syria on the Mediterranean coast. It's not a huge place, but a big enough place to get lost in should you need to take a few days out of the spotlight. And that's what Jesus was hoping for, a bit of anonymity. He was keeping his head down in a little bed and breakfast, perhaps, away from the town centre. But word spread. Even here people had heard of him and the marvels he could do. And it wasn't long before a woman came to him, a woman with a troubled child. And when we read this story, it seems that Jesus speaks harshly to her, even rudely. And yet he behaves exactly as people would expect him to behave towards this woman. For Jewish people held Syrians and Phoenicians in very, very low esteem. They did not give them much worth or value. Turning the woman away would have been quite acceptable to Jesus' followers. And as we listen to this story being read to us, as we read it together, we need to note Jesus' response when the woman questions his refusal to heal an unacceptable outsider. He He denies the hierarchy of holiness that most Jews took for granted and refuses to treat her as less than Jewish. This is an example of active inclusion of someone who was marginalised. And it goes far, far beyond the concept of live and let live. Perhaps this story encourages you and me to look at our prejudices and to embrace those we find hard to accept. We're going to show a piece of film just now which helps us to think about the slave trade as it existed 200 or more years ago from this country. And as we watch it, we have to also remember that slavery has not gone away, and there are many, many millions more in slavery today than were ever in slavery 200 or more years ago. This bit of footage tells us something of the story of slavery then and of those who worked to abolish the trade in human cargo.
Just think about this. Slave trade has 300 pieces in his pocket. faith and profession were at a crossroads. Did his new beliefs require him to leave his position in government, or should he remain in Parliament? Could his career also be his calling? And so he made a decision to visit an old family friend for advice. The man was a former slave trader known for his profanity and violence until he too had experienced a religious conversion. John Newton was now a 60-year-old pastor who had written a hymn entitled Amazing Grace.
Lord, for us, what I've learned the secret to Newton, asked permission to meet with him, and said he mustn't tell anyone about this. The face of a member of Parliament is so well known, I don't want to be seen consorting with an evangelical. And Wilberforce walked to Charles Square in London where Newton lived, and he couldn't summon up the courage to knock on the door. He walked around the square once and twice, and finally knocked on the door. And it couldn't have been a wiser choice. Newton had been through a lot of storms in his own life. All the circumstances that gave rise to his great hymn, Amazing Grace. He had a wealth of experience, and he was the perfect person for a troubled young man to turn to.
It would be a defining moment of his life. Upon leaving that day, Wilberforce overwrote
it. I found my mind in a calm, tranquil state, more humble and looking more devoutly out to God.
After 2 years of encouraging Wilberforce in his new faith, Newton challenged him.
It is good to believe that God has raised him up for the good of the church and the good of the nation. Who knows that but for such a time as this, God has brought you into public life that has a purpose for you.
Newton's words proved to be prophetic, and Wilberforce returned to Parliament a changed man. He was ready for a mission when approached by the early abolitionist Thomas Clarkson, who lobbied him to take the anti-slavery cause up before the House. Clarkson's horrific evidence detailing the cruel trade of slavery moved Wilberforce into action. On October 28, 1787, Wilberforce penned these memorable lines in his diary.
God Almighty has set before me two great objects, the suppression of the slave trade and the reformation of manners.
The movement had found its champion. Later that year, Wilberforce brought a motion to the House of Commons for the abolition of the slave trade. It would be 20 long years, 20 years filled with frustration, duplicity, and disappointment before he would carry the House of Commons and the House of Lords in putting abolition into law. In fact, due to a severe illness in which he nearly died, it would take Wilberforce 2 years just to bring his first parliamentary speech against the slave trade. For 3.5 hours, he outlined its brutal realities, presenting for many the first glimpse of the slavery's mere practices. He concluded,
having heard all this, you may choose to look the other way, but you can never again say that you did not know.
Parliament responded with typical delay tactics. In the midst of the political chicanery, the great Methodist reformer John Wesley wrote Wilberforce a letter of support and encouragement.
Unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who could be against you? Are all of them stronger than God?
It was the last letter Wesley ever wrote. He died a week later. But his words must have stayed with Wilberforce as he faithfully endured 13 more years of consecutive defeats in Parliament. Finally, after failure upon failure, finally after hours of debate which lasted into the pre-dawn hours of February 24, 1807, a resolution to end slave trade and all the written was passed at 4 in the morning.
It was a moment like, unlike any other in British history. The House of Commons rose as one man and applauded for several minutes on end at Wilberforce. And he sat there with the tears streaming down his face. The historian G.M. Trudeau has said, speaking of the abolition of the slave trade, that it was one of the turning events in the history of the world.
More than 2 decades later, on July 26, 1833, word from London was rushing Wilberforce as he lay gravely ill. The House of Commons had cast a decisive vote of victory to outlaw slavery throughout its empire. 800,000 slaves were freed. 3 days later, William Wilberforce died and was buried in Westminster Abbey. Three Africans and that you still pray for the force in the pages of long past canon. And Abraham Lincoln brought this memory in a famous speech.
Wilberforce speaks to us so powerfully because he is probably the best example we have of someone who carried his faith into the public square to write a great human rights abuse. And he is one of a great tradition that we're familiar with here in America. One thinks of Martin Luther King Jr. His passionate pursuit of civil rights. Faith was the basis for Dr. King's pursuit of social justice. The same is the case with Wilberforce. Like Dr. King, his faith was the source of first principles that inspired him on the fight to end first the slave trade and later slavery itself.
Today, exactly 200 years after Parliament cast its historic vote to outlaw the slave trade, the mission and movement of Wilberforce and his friends continues. Today, people of courage and conviction are putting their faith into action, taking a stand for the weakest and most vulnerable, those who have no voice, need our help, following the footsteps of the hero of humanity, William Wilberforce.
Slavery today is a bigger issue than it was in Wilberforce's day. Just at the end of that video, we saw a young girl making bricks, children in servitude in that kind of labour, children drafted into armies to fight wars around the world, women and children traded in the sex industry, brought across borders, men and women and children put into cargo trucks, carted around the world for the financial gain of others. And there's so many other examples. And so the battle against slavery has not gone. Today is the 200th anniversary of the day the slaves were emancipated throughout the British Empire. Their owners were paid when these slaves were freed. But today we have to continue to urge our politicians to act as Wilberforce and others did 200 years ago, that the slave trade today does not go off the agenda. To that end, there is a petition on both doors, which you may like to sign, and this will be forwarded on to our local politicians and to national governments, along with the signatures of thousands, perhaps millions, of other people. One of the key players in the story of William Wilberforce was John Newton, as we saw in the film. And we're going to sing Newton's famous hymn, Amazing Grace, now. The words are slightly different from the words we find in the hymn books. The words we're going to sing are the words that Newton wrote when he wrote his hymn, and not the words as subsequently amended by others. So we sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. grace first taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. Not God who called me here below will be forever mine. These words are all the more memorable when we think of Newton, who went to sea at the age of just 11 with his father, a commander of the British Merchant Service. And when he deserted the service, he was subsequently recaptured. He himself was sold into slavery on the coast of Sierra Leone. And as a servant to a slave trader, he suffered himself brutal persecution before eventually earning himself a share in the slave business. And as a slave ship captain, he later referred to himself as the great blasphemer, eventually selling over 20,000 slaves into captivity. One night, while steering a ship through a dangerous storm, John Newton experienced a great conversion. He wrote, "On that day the Lord sent from on high and delivered me out of deep waters." Only God's amazing grace could and would transform a rude and profane slave-trading sailor into a gifted songwriter. John Newton never ceased to stand in awe of God's work in his life. And in his life he penned many hymns. This timeless hymn in 1779. And as we saw, he encouraged Wilberforce and others who led the fight to abolish slavery worldwide. And Newton died just 2 or 3 days after this Act of Parliament was passed.